135. Trying to get some of y'all perked up in here tonight. Amen. Some of you look like you ate grapefruits for supper or something. I don't know. Still eating grapefruits. It didn't work, did it? Come on, smile, people. Roman, you better stay awake. Rest of you better smile. Amen. It's going to be a long night if you don't start smiling. I'm telling you, there you go. And my wife started smiling. She knows what that means. Long night. Amen. Psalms 135. You know, if it's Psalms, it's got to be
good.
Got to be good. It can't be a bad message. I mean, there's not many bad messages out of Psalms 135. Amen. Yeah. I preached out of Psalms when preacher was gone. A lot of you like that, so I'm going to try to do the same tonight and help you a little bit. Amen. You know, we're going to get right into it. Psalms 135, verses 1 through 13. I will say this before I do get started. I do appreciate all y'all. I was thinking, I threw Tammy off tonight. Where is she at? She left the room. I threw her off a little bit tonight during handshaking because I wouldn't let go of her hand for a little while. Just kept shaking it and shaking it and told her, I appreciate you. Kept shaking it. Sometimes we just shake hands so fast and go on, but there is people that are encouragers. And Sister Tammy and Brother Andrew's been an encourager to my family since we've been here talking about pastor appreciation. They get me a lot of things that we hang on our wall and in our house, and they make you feel good every now and then. And when times are tough, and read that. Sister Judy does that sometimes, and some of you others have done that. And I really do appreciate those things. They don't go thrown in a drawer or something. They do mean something when you are. It ain't always easy. It's sometimes stressful, right, Pastor? And it's nice to have those things every now and then. And so I do appreciate that. All right, Psalms 135. The Bible says this: praise ye the Lord. What does it say?
Praise
ye the Lord. That's what we're here for tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. To be excited about God. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. And I was thinking about Sunday night and the way we are in here. Most of us in here tonight are servants of the Lord. Most of us in here tonight do devote our time to serving the Lord. So He says, you that serve the Lord, praise Him. Amen. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is what?
Good.
Sing praises unto the name, for it is what? Pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is
great
and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of the tree of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all of his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth how long?
Forever.
And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to be here again. And Lord, we do pray that we can praise you with our mouths, Lord, that we would praise you with our lives, that we would praise you with our actions, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to do that, to be we are the servants of God. We are the ones that go out and try to win people to Christ. We're the ones that endure to the end. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to rejuvenate our strength, Lord, to help us to go out and do that. And Lord, it starts by, Lord, simply praising you in our lives. And help us to learn to praise you in our lives and the good times, the bad times, Lord, and the great times that come along. And Lord, I do pray that that somebody amongst us tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, we thank you again for Nate getting saved this morning, Lord, and doing a work in his heart and life. And Lord, help us and guard our mouths and our hearts, Lord, and help us to bring honor and glory to you with all that's said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at those first four words there, it says, praise ye the Lord. I think that's one of the most important things that you and I can learn after being a child of God, is to learn to praise the Lord. And I mean praising the Lord not just when everything's great, or when you hear a great song about the Lord, or hear a great message or something that, like that, but we need to learn to praise the Lord always, all the time. We are to praise the Lord in what we say. And I know when you get tired and things go along in life, and especially outside of this building, it's not as pleasant as it is in here, and things happen and all that. And oftentimes we forget who we belong to, and oftentimes we forget to praise the Lord despite what's going on in our lives. The Lord convicted me of that a couple weeks ago. I was sitting in my office and I was just really stressed out. I was stressed out over the shop. I was stressed out over the family. I was stressed out over everything under the sun that you can imagine. And I was sitting there at my desk about to pull my hair out. And I was sitting there and I was just stressed. And this guy walks in and he says, "How are you doing today, Brother Ron?" And I just sat there and I took a deep breath. Well, you know, I just need to praise the Lord. That's what I need to do. Amen. That's what I needed to do, was I needed to praise the Lord. I needed to forget about everything that was going on and realize that Jesus Christ is my Savior, that God is my Father, and I just need to praise the Lord. And you would be amazed at what happens when you begin to praise the Lord, when you begin to give Him praise and honor, what changes in your life. Your situation can change. Your attitude can change. Your language can change. Amen. If you're praising the Lord, it's hard to cuss like you was talking about this morning. Amen. I mean, if you in order to praise the Lord, you have to be doing something, and it's called thinking about the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And if you ain't thinking about the Lord, you're not going to be praising the Lord. So in order to praise Him, you actually have to be thinking about Him. And tonight, I got just three little points with 75 pre-notes under that. Amen? That talking about it, in Psalms 135, we see three times something about the name of the Lord. Three things about the name of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. And first of all, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." And then he says, "Praise ye the name of the Lord." You and I are to praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, when you begin to think about the name of the Lord, and you start thinking about God, and you start thinking about the Jesus Christ, Jehovah, you start thinking about all the names of the Lord. And I got to share with Nate this morning as we were talking in the room. And I said, "Nate," I said, "God is a God, but God is also my Father." Amen. I mean, when I told Nate, I said, "Listen, buddy," I said, "I want you to think about something." I said, "Me and you are kind of in the same situation in a way." I said, "Your daddy died when he was young, when you were young, and my daddy died when I was young." I said, "We're both without daddies here in this earthly bodies that we're in, and this earth that we're living in." I said, "But I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, Nate got it at, how old are you now? 12, 13, 14, how old are you? 13. Well, Nate's 13, but I didn't understand it till I was 24. And I said, "Nate, let me tell you something. What you and I have now is we've got a Father that will never leave us nor forsake us. We've got a Father that we can call on anytime we want to. We've got a Father that regardless if we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, or whether we're going through the storm of our life, we've got a Father that we can call on that is going to listen to us, that's going to care about us, that's going to help us through the situations of life." What a blessing that is to have a Father like that. Amen. Ain't that right, brother? Me and him both have the same Father now. Amen. We can rejoice over that. We can have a good time thinking about the name of the Lord. And he says, "Praise ye the name of the Lord." And I can praise Him tonight because He is my Father. Not only is He my Heavenly Father, but He's in my heart. Amen. And I can praise Him for that. I can thank Him for that. And He is worthy of all praise. Amen. And you think about His name tonight. I can't help but think about some things when I think about His name. When I think about His name, I can't help but think about praising the Lord for the sacrifice that He sent. Amen. I can't help Hey, if you start thinking about the Lord and you start thinking about the names of the Lord, one of the things you can't get around is Savior, amen? When you think about God Almighty and what He sent for you and I, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, He says, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but listen, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You can't help but think about Jesus Christ when you start praising the name of God. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't care what kind of pity party you're in. I don't care what kind of valley you are in. I don't care what kind of mountaintop you are in. You cannot think about the Lord Jesus Christ without thinking about His precious blood that He shed for you and I. Amen. I am so thankful for that His blood was out without blemish and without spot. Amen. I think about myself in my own life when I got saved, how filthy I was, how nasty I was when I got saved. Not just my garments, Brother Jim, but my whole self inside and out, how spotted of the world it was. And you think about that precious blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary, and the Bible says it covers us and it cleanses us. Amen. Oh, you can't think and praise the Lord without thinking about that sacrifice that He has. Not only that, but we so often leave this out. We so often don't think about this, and I try to tell people when I'm talking to them all the time, hey, what a great thing of His blood and His perfect blood, but well, you can't help out thinking about God without thinking about His resurrection. Amen. You know, we talk about Easter and all that stuff, but we do not serve a dead man. We're not praising some fat little man up here with his legs crossed, amen. We're not serving some cow idol, amen, that's made out of gold. We're not praising some rat or something like that, amen. But you and I are praising a living God, amen. The Holy of Holies. The Bible says that He is a God above all gods, amen. I know some of you in here has got other gods beside the Lord Jesus Christ, but God is above all of them. Amen. Oh, preacher was preaching about that this morning. I was sitting there thinking about all the gods in our life. See, I'd already studied this, and God already put it on my heart. And if you'll look in that verse there, number 4, I was going to try to be nice tonight, but let me put this in here. Number 5, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." Amen. I'm telling you, we put our TVs high up on the wall, amen. And we got those high mounts, and we put them up there. And we look at them, and we worship them all the time, amen. We get home, and the preacher, I like football too, amen. And we put that thing on the wall, and we set it in the midst of our family, amen. And we put it there amongst ourselves. And if that ain't bad enough, we put it on our phones now, amen. AT&T talks about being able to watch it on your phone now. Hey, we can take. Hey, that I'm going to tell you something. That's a great God in your life, but God Almighty is greater than that God. Amen. I'm telling you, if we would put God a little higher than our TVs, amen. If we put God a little higher than those gods in our life, can you imagine how we could come to church and praise the Lord? Amen. We'd come in here and truly praise ye the Lord. I mean, we would be excited about that. It's rough when those gods get taken out of our lives sometimes, don't it? Boy, we go, man, that's rough, man. I don't want that God out of my life. I don't want this God out of my life. But I'm going to tell you something. There are some blessings in your life if you would learn to put God above all those other gods. Amen. He's above them anyway. Verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great." Amen. It says, "Praise ye the name of the Lord." Not only does he think about his resurrection, that's where I was before I got on that. But the rest part of that, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for me and for you, who by him do believe in God." Hey, Nate, what did we talk about this morning? What do you got to do to believe in the Lord? What to be saved? Amen. It ain't just believing on God, but you believe that God raised him from the dead. Amen. And the Bible says that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I'm thankful. I'm telling you, I'm thankful. One of my favorite places to eat on Sunday afternoon. I didn't go there today. I was in a bad mood, amen. I'll admit that. I was in a rough mood, so when I'm that way, I just go home. I make it rough on everybody when I'm in a bad mood, amen. And so the kids whine, the kids gripe, The wife gets mad. The older son gets upset. Everybody, it's all right. I'm dad. Dad was in a bad mood after church, so we went home. But I'm going to tell you one of my favorite places to eat on Sunday. That's probably why I can preach this loud tonight, because I didn't eat there today. Amen. I didn't get all filled up with that junk, but one of my favorite places to eat is Fuji. I love Fuji. Now, on Sunday afternoon, after we get through with all this, I like to go there and put all that hot sauce in there and all that stuff and everything else. But it always cracks me up when we walk in there. I mean, every time we walk in there, Buddha is waiting on me. I mean, he's sitting there with his fat belly, and he's sitting there. He's fat because we feed him all the time, amen? We give him all of our money to eat at those places. But you look at that, and I think to myself, I am so thankful I don't worship something like that. I am so glad that I don't worship something that's been dead and the bones are rotten and turning to ash and all that stuff. I serve Nate, let me tell you something. The God that you and I worship, the Father that you and I have in our lives is alive. Amen. He is not in a grave somewhere. The stone was rolled away. There's nothing in there. Amen. He's alive and well on the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back to get us. Amen. And I'm telling you something. Those that worship that stuff, I feel sorry for them. Amen. I often wonder how we could be so, our minds could be so messed up, and how we could be so stupid to worship something like that. Amen. Boy, if I wouldn't approve this thing over and over again, if I hadn't approved God over and over again in my life, I wouldn't be in here tonight. Amen. I'd be out there on the street doing something I want to do. Amen. I'd be out there carrying on with the rest of the heathen. But God, a living God, has proved himself to me over and over again. He speaks to me, amen, over and over again. When I open up this precious word of God, he begins to minister to my heart. Amen. He begins to give me words that I need deep down in my heart. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Not only is he think about that, but when we think about the other stuff about his name, we can praise the Lord for his extended hand and mercy. Samuel, you know what I'm fixing to preach on now, I believe. Amen. Woo, let me just slow down for a minute and explain something to you. You go back there to Acts. Just go ahead and open your Bibles, Acts chapter 10 for a minute. But I want you to think about something, and I want you to just let this sink in for a minute. I want this to go deep down in your heart, and I want this to go deep down in your mind and think about something for a minute. When Jesus Christ came, he didn't come for you and I in here. You understand that? He came for the children of Israel. And the Bible says that he was a stumbling block to the children of Israel. And when that didn't happen, God opened the doors for all mankind to be saved. Amen. God extended his hand, amen, to us Gentiles. And he said, hey, you don't want what I got for you? Then I'm going to extend my favor. I'm going to extend my grace and my mercy to the whole world, amen, so that all might be saved, that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And you know, when you look in Acts, boy, you see all this happening, and you see Peter there. Peter was God's preacher, man. In Acts chapter 2, he began to preach at Pentecost, and the tongues happened. All that stuff happened. These people began to get saved. And God came to Peter in a dream. Anybody remember that? In Acts chapter 10, he came to him, and maybe in Acts chapter 9 too. But he came to him in a dream and said, hey, why are you calling what I've cleansed unclean? Amen. Why are you calling uncommon what I've made right? Amen. And he showed him in a dream to Peter that he was extending his arm to all mankind. Amen. If we look there in Acts chapter 10 for a minute, some of you ain't getting me on this. Amen. Look in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. The Bible says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remissions of sin. They didn't. That wasn't there to start with. Those words wasn't spoken in the beginning by Peter. Peter, when he first started preaching, was mostly to the Jews, amen, not to the Gentiles. And if you read Acts, Acts is such a wonderful book to read the process and to read what happened as the church began and as the things started happening and Paul got saved and Paul started becoming the preacher to the Gentiles and Peter got on board with that and God showed him that. And as we progress through the scriptures there, in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, he says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were what? Astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Woo! I tell you what, we can praise His name tonight that He didn't leave us out, amen. That He put us in that same crowd that you and I can be the sons and daughters of the Most High God, amen. Well, we don't understand that sometimes. Man, what would have happened if all this would have went a different way? Been rough, would it not? I mean, we don't often think about that, and we're in our little pity party, and we're, man, God ain't been good to me, and God ain't this, and God ain't that. And I'm telling you something, God's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, because without God, without Him extending His hand of mercy to you, you would split hell wide open when you died, amen, and there wouldn't be no choice about it. But because He loved us and because He cares about us and because He is our Father and praise His holy name, amen, He extended His hands to the Gentiles as well. He extended that invitation to you and I tonight to be saved and not to live without the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 11, to the next chapter, verse 17 and 18. It says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter said, I better get on board with this. I better not. Hey, if God's for this thing, I better be for this thing, right? And Peter said in verse 18 of that same chapter, he said, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Amen. You and I in here tonight, above all the Jews in this world, ought to praise the Lord louder than any of them ever have. Amen. You and I ought to come into this building ready for our shoes to shoot off our feet and everything else for the excitement that you and I don't have to burn in a devil's hell. Amen. That you and I have the opportunity to simply believe in what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and I have the same inheritance. Amen. Woo, that same heaven that the children of Israel are going to be in, you and I are going to be in, amen. That same God that they have. The Bible says, but you and I are a child of God, amen. And we ought to praise Him for that. Woo, praise His holy name for that. Now let's look at the next point. Look in verse 3 there, Psalms 135. It says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." And then look, it talks about His name again. And it says, "Sing praises unto His name." Sing praises unto His name. Now this is the part that gets me really aggravated sometimes. And y'all know it does. You know I'm going to preach to you about this every time it comes up. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Whew. We're going to have to quit letting our wood be wet all the time. Amen. We're going to have to get excited about the Lord every now and then. We're going to have to just let loose. Now, we ain't got to be charismatic and all that stuff, but I mean, some of you ought to really think about the Lord every now and then. I mean, seriously, forget about the TV for an hour or so, amen? Forget about all that Fuji for an hour, amen? Forget about all that stuff in our life for a little while. You know, this morning, oh, it blesses my heart. I enjoy it when the choir sings that song this morning about the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. There is something about the name of Jesus, and I'm telling you, not only is it worth praising Him about, it's worth singing about. Amen. You know, I've talked to some of them Muslims before and asked them, you know, do y'all have songs that y'all enjoy singing about Allah? And not, no, they don't do all that. They don't enjoy that stuff. It's a commandment. It's all that. Hey, I enjoy singing about my Savior. Amen. I enjoy hearing the name of Jesus Christ when it ain't in vain. Amen. I enjoy hearing somebody praise the name of Jesus. I love hearing our choir sing about the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, I preached on this a couple months ago or whatever, trying to get you to understand this a little bit. What comes out of our mouth matters to God. I'm not going to re-preach what he preached this morning because he shot it pretty good, amen? And it was like a shotgun. It just went, pow! It got everybody, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It matters to God what comes out your mouth. As a child of God, you and I, not only should we have a new song in our heart, but we ought to get a new song in our heart when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms, and I love the book of Psalms, you can't even write the amount of verses down in Psalms and preach on them. It talks about having a new song. Look that up every now and then. You look that up. Y'all all got them smartphones and stupid phones. Y'all look them up and Google that one time about a new song in your heart. Psalms 40 and verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Now listen, this is important. I want you to understand this. I don't have time to preach on all this. I want to preach on all of it, but I ain't got time. You wouldn't listen to me anyway. I want you to listen here for a minute. It's important that you and I have a song for God. It's important that we have a new song in our life and in our heart. It's important because it ain't just about you, but it's about the lost people in the world too. Amen. If you look here for just a minute, Psalms 40 verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." And listen, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Now you tell me the last time you went bebopping down the sidewalk singing a praise unto the Lord, huh? Ain't nobody want to raise their hand for that one, do they? But you think about something for a minute. I've been in Walmart before, and I've heard a little old lady singing a hymnal before. Whatever it may be. I've heard them sing all kinds of stuff. And it just puts a smile on your face. When you see somebody working, now my workers don't do it, but I've heard before, some workers in there working and singing a song about the Lord. People get curious about that. Well, why in the world, what are you singing? What is that you're singing? You know, I could bet you anything, these teenagers, they're getting with the program. Some of them are. And they're learning to sing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord to that. That's part of worship. That's part that's missing in most Christians' life, is having a song in their heart. They got a song in their heart. It ain't God's song in their heart. Amen. And I'm telling you, when you get a song in your heart, a new song in your heart that God has given you, and you go around singing Amazing Grace or some of these new songs, I'm not against all y'all's new songs. Some of them I am, but not all of them. You start singing some of them songs at school around people and smiling and acting like you really like it, amen? All that stuff. I'm telling you, people get curious about that. They go, "What in the world are they singing? It must mean something to them." The Bible says that if us Christians would do that, that many shall see it and will trust in the Lord. I loved, I don't get to do it very often. I haven't got to do it in the last couple of years, but we ought to do it to neighborhoods and everything else. And it used to be real popular, Christmas caroling and singing Christmas carols, not just the shut-ins and stuff, but just going to wherever and singing. When you go to see Christmas lights and the songs of God, not that other crap, the songs of God start playing, does it not change the attitude of people? It most certainly does. It changes the whole attitude of everything. And we are seeing more and more of that. I'm going to tell you again, and y'all are going to get tired of hearing this. I'm telling you, I had a tear in my eye this weekend. I went to Jacksonville State University. A band played down there at Jacksonville State University. And I'm going to tell you, when we were down there in front of all those, the people behind me, listen, they don't know who I am. They ain't never going to listen to me preach anyway. Them people behind me were something else. Amen. Was they not? I mean, I got a show I didn't want to see, amen. I wouldn't have paid money for it. I got a show I didn't want to see. I wish she would have sat down and put some clothes on, amen. I heard language that I didn't want to hear, amen. I heard all that stuff down there I didn't want to hear. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the truth. They were hooting and hollering and yelling and screaming and cussing the referees and doing all that stuff and everything else. And Rick's Band Heritage came on the field. And their thing is the greatest of these is love. And they got hope and faith, and then they do some crazy thing on the field, and love is spelt out on the field. In their performance, they play How Great Thou Art is in the middle of their performance and all that. And I'm going to tell you something. In the midst of all them people, all that carrying on, all that ruckus going on and everything else, them people was quiet as a mouse after that was played. I turned around, and the one lady had tears coming down her face, seeing faith and hope and love spelt out across the field. Those are things of God, amen. Those are the attributes of God, and those things can change people, amen, when they're sung about. And I'm telling you what a blessing that is. I'm glad that these kids are getting some of that in their heart and their life, is some of these songs that will mean something to them, and not only them, but the people around them, amen. The Bible says in Psalms 98:1, he says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things." Now let me ask you something. Most of y'all been in here saved a long time. Has he not done some marvelous things in your life? He has done some things in my life that people just wouldn't believe. Amen? I mean, Brother David or somebody was talking about the journey with God and it being boring. I'm telling you, God has done some miraculous things in my life that people wouldn't even believe. And I'm telling you, when you understand that and God has done those marvelous things in your life, you ought to sing about it. Amen. You ought to have a song in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, when we sing Amazing Grace, it ought to mean something to you, amen. It don't matter if you've heard it 10 million times, it's still Amazing Grace, amen. Once was blind, but now I see. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. It says, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Whoo, sing praises unto his name. Look at what it says. I'm going to calm down for a minute until I get to the last point. Amen. Catch my breath for a minute. I'm getting fat. I've got to lose some of this weight. Pass out. Look at what verse 3 says. For it is pleasant. Amen. For it's pleasant. There ain't a lot of things in life that's pleasant. Looking at my wife is pleasant to me. You know what I mean? Having friends is pleasant. But when you sing unto the Lord, it's very pleasant to Him.
Amen.
God likes to be sung to.
He does.
He does. He talks about it so much in the Bible. You could just go on. I wish I could get it to you so you could understand, but it's pleasant to sing unto the Lord. It's pleasant to, you know, one of the things they taught me when I first got saved, they taught me how to pray for an hour. And I thought, I pray for an hour? How in the world can you pray for an hour? I won't even talk on the phone more than a minute. And I got to pray to God for an hour. Believe me, it's very easy to pray an hour. That an hour go by fast once you start praying.
Amen.
But in your prayer, take some time to sing to Him. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing Amazing Grace to Him. Sing It Is Well With My Soul to the Lord. Sing I Love Thee to the Lord. Spend some of that time in your quiet time. Not just when the choir is singing. Not just when we tell you to open to Him, blah, blah, and let's sing. Sing to Him in the car on the way to work. Sing to Him in your quiet place. Just sing to the Lord. The Bible says it's pleasant to sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, when I get in a frizzy and my life gets turned upside down, and preacher, you're 100% right what you said this morning. We are so full of the world. I'm talking about every one of us are so full of the world. He could have preached what he preached this morning all day long. Those preachers of old, if they knew what we were doing today, Oh my goodness. Those preachers of old, if they knew the way we acted, hey, some of our great-great-grandmothers and grandfathers knew the way that we acted today and knew the things that we were involved in today, they would turn over in their grave. And we are so full of the world, we are so worldly and nasty inside and all of that, that it would do us good every now and then just to sing His name.
Yes.
Sing to the Lord, because the Bible says it is pleasant to sing to God. Oh, if we could just get that every now and then, amen. And in closing, the last point, you have to go way over there to verse 13. I like this one, Nate. I'm using you a lot tonight. What you and I belong to is going to last forever. You know, those of you that have been in cult class and you study the cults, how old are most cults? Not very old. Less than 200 years. Some are less than 100 years, these cults that have popped up, and all these people are running to all these different cults and all this different junk out there and all this different stuff they're running to. But you know what I belong to? It's been here forever. And you know where I'm going? It's going to be there forever. I'm not getting a visitor's pass. Amen. I'm not going there just to check it out. I'm going there forever. Amen. And I'm not coming back. Amen. I'm going to stay. Amen. Ain't nobody got to pray me out or pray me in, amen. Ain't nobody got to pay for me in or pay for me out. I'm going there, amen. Verse 13 says, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. I want you to think about that for a minute. America now is doing their best to get rid of His name. That ain't the first time that's ever happened. China's trying to get rid of Him. All the third world countries try to get rid of Him. They've been trying to get rid of His name ever since His name's been around. They've been, hey, think about how old the world is. His name is still here. And when this thing has come to an end, it's still going to be here, amen. The Bible says His name endureth forever. You ought to get excited about that tonight, amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I'm telling you, if you want to get on the winning side, you better get on God's side, amen. Because what God is going to be here forever, amen. There ain't nobody going to, I laugh at the, oh my gosh. You and I are in here smart people. You and I in here already know there's no such thing as an atheist. There is no such thing. They can say that, but the Bible, God already said He put it in our heart that we know that there's a God, and God created us.
Amen.
So you can lie to yourself all you want. You can claim that garbage all you want. You can just keep on lying to yourself that there's no God, but deep down inside, you know there's a God. The Indians knew there was a God. The Eskimos knew there was a God. Amen. Everybody in this whole world knew that there's a God.
Amen.
And the Bible says we know in our heart that there's a God. You and I know deep down inside that some stupid big bang didn't happen and all this come to place. Amen. It came by a God that's been here forever, amen, and that's going to be here forever, that started everything and will end everything, amen. And you and I have the opportunity to spend eternity with this God, amen. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. John 1:1, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, amen. When you look at John 1:1 in these few verses here, it says, in the beginning was the Word. What do we have? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. He has always been here. My son, is Ryan awake? Thank God he's asleep. That must be why I had so much liberty to preach. The devil went to sleep. Let me tell you something. You know how excited... I about had a moment with him today when we left here. Y'all know a good one, not a bad one, a good one. Yeah, a good one. Because I love y'all teachers with children's church. I don't even know who you are that's teaching children's church. But y'all put some interesting questions in my kids' heads, amen. The tough ones. Y'all must tell them, ask your daddy on the way home. Like daddy's supposed to have all the answers, right? Ryan asked me when we left, he's going right down the road here to somebody's house, and he says, Daddy, who is God's wife? You know, I sat there for a minute, and the easiest answer is, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And I sat there and I thought about it for a minute because I wanted to be spiritual, you know. So I sat there for a minute and I thought about it, God's wife. I said, well, you know what, Ryan? I said, we're God's wife. I said, the children of Israel was God's wife. Get the bill of divorcement and all that stuff from that. Children of Israel, God's wife. And then when Jesus came, he extended that arm of mercy to you and I, to the church, amen. And now we are the bride. And I said, we are God's bride. I said, that's why it's important that you and I stay the way we're supposed to stay. We're supposed to stay clean. Brother David preached on that. That the church is supposed to stay clean. That the church is supposed to be white and clean and pure. Because we're his bride. And I said, Ryan, we're his bride. We're the ones that one day are going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're the ones that are going to be to all that. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for giving me that answer real quick. Amen. So you and I can praise the Lord. Amen. For praise his name for everything.
Amen.
He said, in that same passage of John 1:1, he says, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God who was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, there's another place for the atheist, amen, to jump off on. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, there it is again, amen, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Woo! I'm glad I don't have to be as pretty as Rick to get into heaven, amen. I'm glad I don't have to have the money of the world to get into heaven. I'm glad I don't have to be nice to get into heaven. Amen. Thank God for that. All I got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he lets me become the Son of God. You know why that's so important? Is because it's everlasting. That's why he endureth to the end, because it's everlasting. Oh. And the last, Revelations 21. I didn't write that. Revelations chapter 21. In closing, I just want to read these verses to you. Revelations chapter 21, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says this. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Listen to what he says, church. Maybe somebody in here tonight don't know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Hey, we take that for granted all the time. Do we not? I took it for granted for the last couple of years that Nate had salvation planned out and done. Right? There's some adults sometimes sit in church for 20 years and go, whoa, you know what? I really never trusted in that. Listen to the invitation. God's invitation. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. I'm so glad that God, what He extended to me is free. I don't have to bleed for it. I don't have to die for it. I don't have to hang from that cross for it. He did it all. And He said, listen, I more with John and John chapter 4. And I associate my life more with Legion and all that kind of stuff more than I do the other passages in the Bible, because I'm going to tell you something. I was thirsty when I got saved. I mean, as thirsty, I was so thirsty, and I was trying to fill that thirst with the things of this world. I mean, I was trying it all. Anything that was out there, I tried just to fill that void that was in there. You know how thirsty you are, man? You drink anything when you're dying of thirst. And I was dying of thirst on the inside, and I'd just drink anything. Man, you won't give me, I'll take it. I'll take this, I'll take that. And whatever sin's out there, I'll try to fill it with that. Jesus said, whoa, time out. He said, I'm going to give you something that'll quench that thirst. Amen. And it ain't going to cost you nothing.
Amen.
It's free.
Amen.
What do you think that woman at the well had to offer Jesus Christ? Nothing. He says, I'm going to give you a drink of water. And you're never going to thirst again. Woo! Woo! I'm telling you, you ought to get excited about the Lord. You ought to get excited about the things God's done for you. We go back there to that first verse of Psalms 135. What does it say? Praise ye the Lord. Every person in this room tonight that can hear my voice has no reason not to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this night.